So the news is a format. The private house is a format. And what is a format? A format is a form of, it's a set of rules of representation, right? As an artist, we have to be interested about all these signs around us, all these formats. Time also is formatted, but format is a set of rules of representation. An exhibition is a format. A solo show is a format. A group show is a format. A show in a museum is different than a show in a gallery. That's different format. I think if you want to, in a certain way, change the rules, you had to go back to, the way they are produced and the convention in which we are playing within, in a certain way. This woman gave a voice to Snow White. This is the French voice of Snow White. Because as you know, kids cannot read subtitles, so of course, for each country, when it's cartoon, it's always dub. So that's the voice. And the voice, one day, I was in my studio, and I opened the radio, and someone was saying, I'm going to attack Disney. I'm going to attack Disney because they didn't pay the rights on the DVD, blah, 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 blah. And the voice was the voice of Snow White, you know. So suddenly the character, Snow White, was attacking the author, you know what I mean? The one who created her. And of course, I was exactly at the moment where I was thinking, I need to find a solution to express this notion of interpretation. Interpret, what is an interpret? And what is an actor? An interpret is someone who, in a certain way, is conduct by a script, who is playing something, and the actor is someone who acts, someone who's going to move something and will make some change, someone who have an intention on a series of choice and actually change something, where the interpreter is only, in a certain way, The creation of the interpreter is within the way he's reading the script. And I was really trying to find a solution to express that. And for me, when I fall onto her, I was thinking that's exactly what I'm looking for. She is an interpreter, someone who reads the script. You know, she's the one who works for entertainment. She's a worker of entertainment. And suddenly, she's never been, of course, inside the image, right? She's just a voice. And I say, okay, I'm going to put her in the place of the image. So what you will see after, but basically she's in a studio where normally we shoot, normal feature film. And of course, you have to read the subtitles, so you will read with your inner voice, and you start to do the same thing as Disney. You know, you hit her voice. Let's go to the next one. This man that you see on the right is John Wadovich. He robbed a bank in 72 in Brooklyn because he did want to pay a kind of sex change operation to his boyfriend, which was the first time something like that was arriving. And for that, he robbed a bank. of course, it didn't work as he planned. And the police arrive, the media arrive, and in a smart way, he used the media in a certain way to put the media between him and the police who did want to kill him at the time. And someone saw that, there was news on the newspaper, TV, Life magazine. From Life magazine, someone write a longer article who was taken in Hollywood, and then Frank Pearson start to do the screenplay for Dog Day Afternoon made by Sidney Lumet and with Al Pacino. And then the film went out, and John find himself in jail watching himself play by Pacino, you know what I mean? So there's a kind of layering and less layering of interpretation of your own story, who became not anymore your own story, but you still believe that it's your story. Third Memory was like the title I put because in a certain way, John, I simply rebuilt the bank. I rebuilt the bank, not the real bank, but the bank of the fiction. And it's shot as a kind of a TV show. So you have like, it's big like here. And you have three camera, and he's actually acting and directing. He's saying, I was there. You know, it's a reenactment. So he's just speaking to the camera, saying, you know, so he's becoming the own narrator of his own story. But of course, and some people really didn't understand this work, I mean, because they were lazy. But that's, I think that's true. But they thought that someone wrote something like Pierre is showing the background of the cinema. I mean, of course, I'm not naive to say the cinema is a fiction. You know, it's not real. John, in fact, what he's doing is just he likes to be a hero. So he takes a bit of the real, what really happened, the best of what really happened. Then he takes a bit of what the fiction did, and he said that it's his memory. He creates his own memory of this moment, because of course it's like 20 years ago, so he has no idea anymore. It's just repeating itself on loop, and he built what he wants his memory to be.
Fast forward through.
When you're invited to a place to make something that may or may not make a place better, the question is not how well you can achieve the stated desires of those involved in that invitation, but how to keep suppressing the self-consciousness of the act of thinking hard about what you might represent in terms of future content or past potentials. In order to reflect upon that, we will now commence into some contented future using a model that is rooted in the past, a set of relations with no dialogue, a communication by proxy.
I was invited in Harvard. Do you say Harvard? Yes, that's it. I cannot say this word. to do something on this building, which is a building by Le Corbusier.
Fast forward through.
You have I take a novel by Alan Edgar Poe, which is, what is the title in English of that? Forgot. It's about this journey in Antarctica. What is the name of that book? Anyway. Yes. Thank you. The Adventure of Arthur Gordon Pym. And I take this book, and of course, thank you. And I decide that this three floor will be like a musical, you know, like you have act one, act two, act three. So each floor is one act of a musical, but it's also a process. So the scenario is about a journey that I'm going to do in Antarctica with a group of people. That's a very simple thing. It's the idea of going somewhere else to find an idea and to bring back this idea and to expose this idea to under light.
Okay, and now to...
Now, I'm just finishing with this project, I think, which was Streamside Day, a project I did at the DIA. Again, I was invited at the DIA to do a show inside the DIA, and I was not interested to do a show within the DIA. And I saw, you know, I'm, as a lot of people, really interested about Robert Smithson. And to make it very, very simple, but to go fast, because... When Smithson did the spiral jetty, to go very fast again, there's something which is at scale with the landscape. Let's say that I'm doing here, I'm trying to do something in a similar way, except that I'm at scale with a social environment and a time scale. I plan to do something for 9 months, which was the time normally the DIA offer me, because the show at the DIA is 9 months, but the DIA collapsed economically at the time, and I decided to do something who will last one day. And I decided to do, I crossed this new town, let's say it's not a town, it's a real estate, but I like to call it a town because really there's like mall, there's like, you know, harbor, blah, 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 blah. So it's a little town. And it's, of course, as you see, fully new. Can we have another image, maybe? So that's the, you know, where you buy the house. And I decide to invent a custom for them, but not to import a custom, to say, oh, you're going to celebrate this. We'll never work. I find something which was local, where I'm sure they're going to, you know, something that they belong to them, which was the fact that they came here, for sure they came here. So there's a migration problem, and the fact that they meet this nature, which is the wilderness, you know, the myth of the wilderness. And from that, I create a kind of, I prefer to say custom than tradition. Custom, based on the fact, on these two things. So the film of that is actually, I film the source, to say something that it's kind of dangerous to say, but it's a very clear example, to say, I film the Christ in the cave, and then I film Christmas. You know, so I just film the source, or it could be Halloween, you know what I mean? And then I film this kind of, woo, Americana celebration. What interests me, of course, is this idea that it is a program, right? As the world is run, the year is 365, and of course, it's a loop. It's crowded of celebration. The territory of time has been, you know, taken by tons of the 4th of July, in France it's 14th of July, it's all over, and it's nearly crowded. I'm working with the EU, I mean, I'm trying to save some date. Will never be celebrated. Let's show some image. So to finish with this, the last, for me the last is really, the last thing you saw is about this, really this idea of how an exhibition can be performative. How, for example, a celebration in a mini town can, because what is a celebration? It's a celebration is a time-based exhibition. How this exhibition can be, how an exhibition can become organic, how it can grow alone and, you know what I mean, extend in the reality, how I can produce a reality, how I can make this exhibition performative in a certain way.
Nous chanterons le temps des cerises, sifflera bien mieux le merle moqueur. Mais il est bien court le temps des cerises, où l'on s'en va de cueillir en rêvant des pendants d'oreilles. Cerise d'amour aux rampes vermeilles, tombant sous la mousse en gouttes de sang, mais il est bien court, le temps des cerises, pendant de corail, qu'on cueille en rêvant.